This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, you know the original Hooters brand has 12 locations to serve you. Let's hear more about them.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
And, of course, my thanks to original Hooters and Hooters calendar girls like Brooke and Ty, who have always taken care of us at golf tournaments, Todd Wright Tour events, and podcast events. And, of course, at 4th Street North in St. Petersburg, where Tony Metzler is one of the managers and plays in the podcast league, the Governors of Lavish Fantasy Football, Rain. Coming back from her Thanksgiving break, we'll be back working at the 4th Street Hooters. For those of you around the state of Florida, around the United States, and around the world, it doesn't take much for you to figure out where your nearest Hooters location is for the world-famous Hooters girls, hot wings, cold beer, and a wonderful atmosphere to watch football in Week 13, which should be the last week of your fantasy football regular season to start a three-week run in the playoffs, whether you go 1-8, top two seeds, get byes, whatever. Generally, and in both of my leagues, this is the final week of the regular season. So for the first time in a while, we'll go game by game. And I'm recording this after the Cowboys victory over the Saints, in which those of you who own Alvin Kamara didn't get what you expected. Those of you who own Michael Thomas didn't get what you expected. Those of you who own Drew Brees didn't get what you expected. For what it's worth, those of you spoiled by Amari Cooper on Thanksgiving didn't get what you expected. Low scoring game. The two kickers, same way. Saints defense did put up a good number. Not sure about the Cowboys defense, but wasn't a bad number. But I don't imagine many of you were playing the Cowboys DST against the New Orleans Saints. So let's go game by game on Sunday, and let me just give you some initial thoughts. Indianapolis at Jacksonville, Kessler starting at quarterback for the Jags. No Fournette, suspension upheld. So for those of you Fournette owners, you finally thought, wow, my investment paid off, or I traded for him, and he's been great the last few weeks, and now you don't have him for the last week of the regular season. I'm not sure that Carlos Hyde is a must play. I'm just not sure. It's just a trade that made no sense to me from the Jaguar standpoint. I could easily come away from this game thinking TJ Yeldon has as much of a workload or more than Hyde here. And Indianapolis is rolling. Jacksonville is reeling. I can't really make a case for Cody Kessler rallying the Jaguars. What do they really have to play for at this point? I know the guys on NFL Fantasy Live on NFL Network slightly down on T.Y. Hilton because the matchup against the Jags, but it's not like the Jags defense has presented much in the way to dissuade us from playing quality offensive performers against them, and Hilton has been very consistent. Luck has been throwing the ball a ton. Eric Ebron just gets in the end zone if you're looking for a tight end streamer. Those are my thoughts on Indianapolis and Jacksonville. Chargers and Pittsburgh, game that was flexed to the Sunday nighter. Pittsburgh off that late loss at Denver. Chargers back in full gear after the loss the previous weeks. Denver beat both of these teams the last 2 weeks, for what it's worth. Kind of a coincidence. From the Chargers standpoint, no Melvin Gordon. I know, ill-timed injury for those of you who have gotten wonderful production all year out of Melvin Gordon. If you own Austin Eckler, I wouldn't expect much of a bump. I just wouldn't. I think ultimately the ball is going to be in Phillip Rivers' hands in this game. I'd feel better about it if the Steelers were coming off a win They're coming off a loss. It's a bad loss. There seems to be some passive-aggressive tension between Roethlisberger and Brown based on the final play. I don't like the Chargers in this game. I think they will score. So I understand if you're playing Keenan Allen. I certainly understand if you're playing Phillip Rivers. I'm not high on Austin Ekeler. From the Steelers' standpoint, yes, I feel Antonio Brown is fine. Same with Juju Smith-Schuster and Ben Roethlisberger and James Conner. Carolina at Tampa Bay. Panthers defense has just been bad. In their recent losing streak, the overriding thing to me has been how bad the defense has played. So that, again, as we talked about in the Bucs Bulletin, the previous podcast, talked about this game at length and some of the questions that I have about whether or not you play Jameis in a single quarterback league, in a two quarterback league, you're definitely playing him. Reference the Bucs Bulletin edition presented by Brandon Legal Group that I did a couple days ago as it relates to the Carolina-Tampa Bay game. Moving on to Baltimore-Atlanta. As I made the point on Gil Alexander's show on VEASAN on Thursday morning, Atlanta all year has been a team exploited by running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. Look, I know Joe Flacco isn't catching his own passes out of the backfield, but what leads you to believe that the Falcons, if they can't tackle guys catching screen passes out of the backfield, that if Lamar Jackson breaks initial pass rush containment, the Falcons can tackle him? It seemed like last week the Ravens or Lamar Jackson were trying to make him more of a, no, we're not going to run, and then the second half just cut him loose. Look, they keep winning. They make the playoffs. So why wouldn't Lamar Jackson just cut it loose in this game, especially if Gus Edwards, the last couple weeks, 100-yard games, isn't 100%. So Lamar Jackson continues to be in the QB1 conversation, while receivers are more touchdown dependent. I own John Brown in one of my leagues, not even considering playing him. Crabtree was the beneficiary of a touchdown last week. Really, as far as the Ravens are concerned, the only guys I would think about playing are Jackson and Justin Tucker. And maybe the Ravens DST, because the Falcons, like the Panthers in their own division, have tumbled. I don't really know what they're playing for. Julio Jones continues to be worthwhile. Matt Ryan, not quite as much as he was the first 2 months of the season. A lot of questions about what Tevin Coleman is doing, if he's just wearing out, because he's not very productive in terms of his yards per touch, rushing or receiving. So in this game, I don't see a lot that I like. It's very limited, even though the score could get up there. Cleveland and Houston. Browns have been rolling since the firing of Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. But Jarvis Landry has not been a beneficiary of that. If you're desperate for a wide receiver play, Antonio Callaway has been one of those on the receiving end of Baker Mayfield having some better games. Nick Chubb. One of the best examples, we've talked about this, for owners that drafted Nick Chubb, then dumped him, then someone else picked him up at the right time when they traded Carlos Hyde. Nick Chubb has been fantastic. I mean, he's fringe RB1, maybe not even fringe RB1. You're playing Nick Chubb this week. As far as Baker Mayfield is concerned, you're probably playing him unless you have other options. I mean, he's on a bit of a roll. It seems like some hubris might come into play in a game like this against J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and the Texans defense, because the Texans are on a bigger roll than the Browns are. But I understand for playing Mayfield, he's definitely a two-quarterback league start, maybe a QB1 start. Wouldn't be playing Jarvis Landry. Can't count on David Njoku's production, but Nick Chubb, definitely. From the Houston standpoint, DeAndre Hopkins, matchup-proof, although he Wright didn't get in the end zone in the Monday night game against the Titans. And Lamar Miller, I was wrong. You know, there are some guys, Amari Cooper, trade to the Cowboys, I was wrong. Pat Mahomes coming into the season, I was wrong. Look, ask any woman who I've dated. They know I'm flawed. Same with my fantasy football analysis. I'm not going to get everything right. And Lamar Miller clearly isn't done for whatever it's worth. When they rested him, maybe it was like a Matt Nagy thing with a player for a couple of games, the way Nagy is handling Mitch Trubisky. Miller has been excellent. And I think Miller is definitely a play this week, just like DeAndre Hopkins or Deshaun Watson is. Buffalo and Miami. Never big on any of the Dolphins playing. I guess if you need to play Kenyon Drake as a running back, you do. From the Bills standpoint, I'm not really sure. I mean, Josh Allen hasn't had consecutive games. It just feels like he won't be able to get those yards on the ground against the Dolphins. The Dolphins have nothing to play for, but in one possession games, they generally win. This feels like a one possession game. I wouldn't like Josh Allen in a two quarterback league or as a streaming option. And there's not much else there to like in the game overall. We mentioned Trubisky's going to sit second game in a row, barring some change. Chase Daniel had an okay fantasy game. Not that anybody played him unless you're in a DFS tournament situation. I own Mitch Trubisky. I picked up Chase Daniel. I'm still looking for somebody else. I don't want to play Chase Daniel against the Giants. I just don't. 2 weeks in a row kind of feels like a Nick Mullins thing. Nick Mullins looked great 1 week, next week not so good, third week not good at all. Feels that way, although I'm more confident that Nagy can get him some open looks to various offensive targets. Nothing I'm really excited about with Chicago in that game, although I actually do expect them to win it. I understand what Matt Nagy is doing, feeling that, well, we're not going to catch the Saints, although the Saints just lost. We're not going to catch the Rams. We're going to have to play in the first round anyway. Might as well keep my guys healthy. From the Giants standpoint, it's still Barkley. It's still Odell Beckham Jr. Amazing. You have matchup-proof wide receivers and running backs on such a bad football team. Denver and Cincinnati, the Bengals' defense has just been brutal. I mean, freaking brutal. So Broncos are in play. Lindsey. Emmanuel Sanders, Case Keenum might be in play in a two quarterback league, or if you're looking for a DFS tournament option to save money at the quarterback position. I wouldn't throw the dart at Cortland Sutton, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the Bengals defense has just been that bad. Jeff Driscoll gets the start for the Bengals. AJ Green, who knows? AJ Green, you're dealing with, he might play for the first time in a month. And he's playing with Jeff Driscoll as the quarterback. Still a hell of a year for Tyler Boyd. For those of you that have had him, congratulations on getting all the production you did. And you know what? You'll probably still get production in this game from a Tyler Boyd. Not explosive, but still gets you by. Rams at Detroit. Rams coming off the bye week. All those Rams you missed last week go back into play this week against the Lions. And with Todd Gurley probable, not a lot out there from the Detroit standpoint, although they are going to be playing from behind, so that may make LeGarrette Blount's carries less likely near the goal line, unless they have first and goal at the 1 or the 2 yard line. Nothing about the Lions really gets me excited in this game as it relates to Rams and Detroit. Arizona and Green Bay. Big spread in this game. Arizona just kind of a lost season. Larry Fitzgerald is touchdown dependent. David Johnson, right? I mean, somebody has to touch the ball for Arizona. David Johnson has been okay. Tough on David Johnson. You know, he drafted him as an RB1. Do you play him this week? If you have a better option, maybe you don't. Because Green Bay, look, I think Green Bay's playing out the string. They really are. They're just kind of playing it out, but they could be playing this game from 14 to 21 points ahead. I don't know how much David Johnson is going to touch the ball as a running back. So if you have another option, this is one of those examples where Matthew Berry always says play your studs, and David Johnson is a stud. If you have a better option, I'd play the other option rather than David Johnson. He might be game flowed out of this game, and Arizona, I just – have a hard time making a case for Arizona getting a lot of points against Green Bay in this game. From Green Bay's standpoint, sure, you're playing Aaron Rodgers, even though he's playing out the string, Jones continues to surge as a running back for the Packers. Obviously, you're playing Devontae Adams. Kansas City and Oakland, kind of the same feeling with Kansas City going up against the Raiders that you have with the Rams going up against the Lions, putting all those guys in the lineup, Kelce, Hill, Hunt, and Mahomes from the Raiders standpoint. Not really thinking that highly of anybody from the Raiders standpoint, unless you're desperate for a running back with Martin or is it Rashard or Richard? Jets and Tennessee, Titans off the short week. Jets, will it be Darnold? Will it be McCown? Nothing seems really worthwhile from the Jets standpoint, from Tennessee standpoint. It was a regression game last week. Corey Davis put up big numbers. I could see playing Corey Davis, but I wouldn't be excited about playing any other Titans in this game. You can make a case Mariota is a QB2. I don't think he's a QB1. Same with Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry. Just you can do better. Minnesota, New England. Interesting game. 5-point spread for New England, over under at about 49. Kirk Cousins, a really good game last week, and Adam Thielen came on strong late. Diggs still on the injury report, but Cousins is playing, Thielen is playing, Diggs is playing. Dalvin Cook, I guess you're playing him, but you could probably put him also in the Larry Johnson category. The David Johnson category. Was thinking Charlotte Hornets there. If you have a better option and you feel good about the matchup, then go with it, as opposed to Dalvin Cook. I've received questions via email this week about James White and his dip in numbers. I think that has to do with New England's recent dip overall in numbers. And sure, Sony Michel has been back. But I still think James White is someone you play. Julian Edelman is someone you play. Gronk, I mean, you invested in him to win games like this, especially in a mandatory tight end league. You probably don't have a better option. You don't have Kelce. You don't have Ertz. Brady's numbers are off. I don't know what to make of this game. I almost want to make a case that Minnesota is ready to go into New England and win, but this has one of those feels of a game where Belichick and Brady just want to remind everybody we're still the team to beat if you want to win a Super Bowl with the Patriots. So I think for most guys, I would say, yeah, if you've played them most of the year, you're playing them in this game just because the Vegas total is around 50. San Francisco, Seattle, certainly Russell Wilson's been on a roll since the bye week, since he got that hamstring healthy. Good luck with the Seattle backfield. Moore has been a productive wide receiver. Check status on Baldwin. Lockett hasn't been putting up as many points in recent weeks. From the Niners standpoint, I think it's Breida and maybe Kittle in a mandatory tight end league, but I'm not excited about anything else. And finally, the Monday night game, Redskins and Eagles. From the Redskins standpoint, I can't make much of a case for anybody other than Adrian Peterson as an RB2/flex play, because the Eagles haven't scored a lot of points, so that allows Adrian Peterson to stay part of the game plan. I guess if you're looking for a tight end streamer, maybe a Jordan Reed. If he's healthy enough to go, you always got to check that. From the Eagles standpoint, Josh Adams just continues to get more work. It's been a disappointing year for a lot of Eagles, for Wentz owners, for Jeffrey owners, certainly Jay Jai owners, dealt with an injury very early in the season. Josh Adams is in the mix. Very good daily play. If you're desperate for a running back flex play, maybe a Josh Adams is a guy there, and I think you're still playing Zach Ertz. Golden Tate, I don't know. Just feels like that wasn't the right trade for the Eagles to make. as they are still in the mix with a win here and then a win next week against the Cowboys to host a playoff game and win the NFC East. Any questions as it relates to your starters, your roster, waivers, and otherwise, email them to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. My thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck in this final week of the regular season, whether you're looking for the top seed, a first-round bye, to get into the playoffs, or just put yourself in a position where you avoid the last place penalty in your league. And looking forward to the playoffs this week. Hopefully we'll get you there.